to creep in around the Jerusalem surrounding the death of our Savior. This account in Scripture it's full of beauty and love, but it's also full of ugliness and ignorance. It displays our utmost need to keep our focus fixed on Christ. And it's paramount that we keep ourselves in the gospel of Christ. We have to stay focused on Him, fix our eyes on Jesus. We've got to remember who He is, the incarnate God, the creator of all things, the one who by the word of His power holds all things together. He is the promised Messiah, the Christ. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the true light that gives light to the darkness, the bright and morning star. And it's easy for us to be distracted from His purposes. It's easy for us to be distracted from the things that matter most. It's even easy for us to be distracted by things that are good, but they're not the best things. So tonight, I pray that God will stir up in our hearts our need to worship Him, our need to honor Him, our need to glorify Him, our need to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him, to get back to a place where day by day we are in awe of His words. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I pray that tonight You would get glory. I pray that You would speak to our hearts through Your word and convict us of things that need to change in our hearts and our minds. I pray as we look into Your word tonight, Your Holy Spirit would work in us. And Lord, help us to be careful to listen to You, to look to Your word for truth, to follow the leadership of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, to be quick to listen to You, but slow to speak, slow to wrath. Please help me, for I'm nothing without You. Please bless Your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you tonight that we don't have all the answers. Even when we're very well-intentioned, we get things wrong. It's easy for us to defend our traditions. It's easy for us to react based on our emotions rather than listen to the Word of God, rather than to believe the Word of God, rather than to respond in the Spirit. Sometimes we can be so sure that we're right when in fact we are absolutely wrong. We can be self-righteous when we're not right at all. We're quick to judge others. We climb up on our high horse. We climb up on our soapboxes. We look down our Pharisaical noses. We get puffed up with pride and arrogance. We get so full of righteous indignation that we can't even see the fact that our righteousness and our righteous indignation isn't righteousness at all. It's self-righteousness. We're blind to the truth. I don't know if that happens to you very often, but I know that sometimes we think we're right. We're absolutely sure that we're right. Happens to me a lot when I sing songs. I was singing a song because I like to sing songs the other night at home. Maybe it was last night. Anybody else's days running together? I'm not sure what. Like, it's Sunday right now, right? I was singing a song, and Melissa's like, "Is that how that song goes?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's the way I've always sung it." But thank you, Google, for finding out that I was wrong. And I've been singing the lyrics wrong ever since the song came out. I was absolutely sure that I was singing it right, but I was wrong. Listen, that happens to us all the time. And so many times we fail to look to the truth. We've got to learn to listen to Jesus because He's the only one who is always right. There are three times in the Scriptures that Jesus is recorded as saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." One time is in Luke 4 and verse 8. Jesus answered and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." One time Jesus says to Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The two other accounts in Scripture where that phrase is recorded, "Get thee behind me, Satan," is in the same account, recorded by Matthew and one recorded by Mark. And in Mark 8:31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he, Jesus, rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Two of the three times it's recorded in the scripture, Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He's not talking to the devil. He's talking to the apostle Peter. And this comes in scripture. It's recorded just a few verses after this when Jesus answered and said unto Peter in Matthew 16:17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It's so easy for us to turn around. It's so easy for us to do right and be right and then immediately turn around the other direction. What's the difference? The difference is, in the first case, when Jesus commends Peter and says, "Good job, Peter," he was speaking by the Spirit. He was confirming the truth of the Scriptures. In the second case, Peter was responding emotionally, and he was rejecting the words of Jesus. And that's where our trouble comes in. I want you to see it. We don't have to continue in darkness. We are not children of the darkness. We are children of the day. The day spring on from on high has visited us. He has illuminated us by his Spirit and by his truth. And we don't have to be spiritually blind and deaf anymore. We can know the truth and walk in the truth. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." God wants us to know what's right and to walk in the right way, to walk in the light. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 gives us serious warning. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So how do we know what's evil and what's good? How do we discern the darkness from the light? Can we tell the difference between bitter and sweet? Well, God wants us to be able to do that as we follow Jesus. Isaiah 7:14-15. Remember Isaiah 7:14. We look at that scripture a lot at Christmas time. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." But verse 15 goes on and says, "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." So what is that butter and honey? What is that goodness and sweetness? Well, it's the very truth, the very word of God. And so as we look to our text tonight, we're going to see the beauty and love that's displayed. We're going to see the ugliness and the indignation that's displayed. And I pray God will convict our hearts that we would learn and be reminded tonight to just listen to Jesus. Matthew 26 and verse 6 again, Jesus was in Bethany. Most people think that this woman who came and had this alabaster box of very precious ointment was probably Mary, the sister of Lazarus. A lot of people believe that. Some people even think that this Simon the leper was a leper who had been healed by Jesus, and that he may have been even kin to a relative of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. We don't have a lot of details about that in Scripture, but that's the traditions that have been passed down. But I want you to see this. When she came in, she had an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on the head of Jesus. This was a sacrificial act of worship. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, it says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head." Some Bible scholars say that this one vial of ointment, this one container of ointment, may have cost as much as almost an entire year's living wages. For you to be able to buy this, for a lot of people in that time, you would have had to work for almost a year just to buy this ointment. It was very, very precious, very, very costly. And she took that And she broke it, and she poured it out on the head of Jesus to anoint him, to honor him, to worship him. I want you to know that we are called by God to worship God sacrificially. David said, I won't offer anything unto God that doesn't cost me. He said, if I'm going to offer it to God, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to give, to sacrifice and worship the Lord. We are called by God to worship him. We are called by God to honor him. We are called by God to act in response to the truth that he reveals to us. So she understood what Jesus came to do, and she acted according to that truth. But I want you to look at the response of the disciples. You see, she had a sacrificial act of worship, but they didn't worship with her. They didn't say, that's really good what you've done. But what they had was an ignorant display of judgment. In verse 8 in our text, Matthew 26 and verse 8 says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. I mentioned Mark chapter 14 is the parallel passage here. His account says that this might have been sold for more than 300 pence. It says that they murmured against her. They didn't rejoice in her sacrifice for Jesus. They didn't praise Jesus with her. They didn't worship along with her, but they had an ignorant display of judgment on her. And I just wonder, if we'd have been there, what would our response have been? You're talking about enough money that it would take you a year, almost a year, to earn, to spend this, to have this sacrifice. Would we have been like this woman? Or would we have been like the disciples, to be in judgment? They were concerned. They said that this act of worship was a waste. I want to let you know tonight that what we do in sacrifice to Jesus is never a waste. What we do to honor Jesus is never a waste. What we do to worship Jesus, to give, to glorify and honor his name, is never a waste. They had an ignorant display of judgment. But notice the divine answer of truth, verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. They had an ignorant display of judgment. What a waste. They murmured against her. But Jesus said she didn't do wrong. She did a good work. In Mark's account, in verse 6, Jesus says, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me, ye have not always. Verse 8, Mark 14, 8 says, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. I want you to get this in context. If you would look with me in Matthew chapter 26, back up to verse 1. Why was her act of worship so good and acceptable? When you study the Gospels, it appears that none of the disciples understood Jesus when he began to tell them that I've got to go to Jerusalem, and at Jerusalem I'm going to suffer many things, and I'm going to be crucified there. He told them, and he began speaking this months before he would go to Jerusalem. He told them time and time and time and time again, and it seems that none of them understood. But it appears to me that this may have been the only follower of Jesus who understood what he had been saying. She may have been the only one who understood and believed his prophecies. In Matthew 26 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. This woman had to have had an understanding, because when Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified, she got a very precious container of ointment. She took it to where Jesus was, and she anointed his head, and Jesus said, she did this good work for my burial. She's not going to be able to be there when I die. She won't be able to attend my body after I'm dead, before I'm laid in the tomb. So she's come beforehand to do now what she won't be able to do later. This woman had a great love for Jesus. This woman had a great desire to worship Jesus. This woman believed the word of Jesus. What about their objections? The disciples seem to have a great concern for the poor and the needy. Isn't it right to love and care for the poor? Well, Jesus said, I'm not always going to be there. I'm not always going to be here. And when I'm gone, the poor will still be here. You can help them anytime. You know what, friends? Now is the time to help the poor. Now is the time to meet the needs of those who are needy. Then was the time to anoint Jesus for his burial. She did a good work. She did what she could when she could. But her actions were based on her belief in the words of Jesus Christ. After all of this took place, Jesus defends her and says, what she has done is good, and it's going to be remembered for her everywhere the gospel is preached. If you'll jump down to Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, then said one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Do you see it? Can you hear Judas when the disciples murmur and complain? When the disciples murmur about the waste? Can you hear Judas in the midst? Can you hear him? He's not worried about the poor. He's worried about that money that he could steal. His heart was to steal. His heart was to betray. So many times, we're absolutely sure that we're right. I can see those disciples just incredulous. I can't believe you wasted that. I can't believe you wasted it. You just poured it out on Jesus' head. What were you thinking? What a waste. We could have helped so many people with that. And they were indignant. They were angry. They were incredulous. They couldn't believe such a waste. I wonder how many times that we could be so sure that we're right, and yet we're dead wrong. And why? Because we weren't listening to Jesus. He told them that he was going to die, but they didn't understand. He told them that he would be crucified, but they didn't hear. He told them that he would rise again the third day, but they did not believe. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20, it says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. You see, when we don't listen, when we are quick to judge, it's a foolish thing to do. I want you to look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. James chapter 1, verse 19. I want you to see this with me. The wisdom that James gives us here is so simple, so profound, and so needful for us today. James 1, 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What's the answer? The answer is to be quick to hear. A lot of times when we look at James 1:19, we apply that to us. You know, you got God gave you two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much and talk half as much. And all of those things may be true, but I believe that that's a good application, but the primary application is not that. The primary application for us is to be swift to hear the word of God. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. We've got to listen to Jesus. We've got to listen to what he says. We've got to be stop making judgments on our own ideas and our own thinking and reacting in our emotions and listen to what Jesus says. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What do we need to do? We need to be meek. We need to be humble. We need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And when we take in the word of Jesus, then we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. This woman heard Jesus. She believed him, and she acted in accordance to that belief. And that's exactly what the Lord calls us to do today. There was a devotional earlier this week. I got in my email in the daily and the word devotionals, and I'm sure several of you probably read the same thing, but one of the challenges in it was that we spend time with Jesus ourselves. So much of what people have to say about the Word of God and the Bible is just, it's just kind of taking sound bites, memes, sharing those things. And I think it's important that we listen to preaching and teaching and we read devotionals, and all of those things are very helpful and good. But listen, Jesus wants each one of us individually to spend time at his feet. That there are things that God is going to show you in his word and teach you that you're not going to get from listening to what somebody else got. The only way you're going to get those truths, the only way you're going to thrive in your relationship with Jesus is when you personally spend time with him in his word. Listen to him. Pray. Spend time in his word personally. And let God do a work in your heart that only the Holy Spirit of God can do in you through his word. I have no idea what you might be struggling with tonight. I know everybody's got answers right now. There are a lot of people that have the answer. Their answer is we need to shut down the entire country and everybody needs to stay home for 2 months, and they've got the answer. The other people have answers too. They think that it's all a hoax and everybody needs to get out about their daily business and there's not really anything dangerous going on, and they've got the answer. They're absolutely sure. I can tell you this, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is and all of those details. But I know this, God has the answer. I'm going to trust in him. I want to look in his word and see what he says. I want to look and see that we are in the last days, and how are we to respond in the last days? Well, we're to respond in faith and obedience to the word of God. We're to walk with Jesus moment by moment. We're to be witnesses for Jesus day by day. Do the things that we know Jesus wants us to do and allow him to work in our hearts and allow him to get the glory. I pray that God will help all of us, challenge all of us to listen to him, to realize the importance of just sitting at his feet and listening to him, worshiping him, being willing to sacrifice for his glory. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for the time to spend in your word this evening. I thank you for Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins. I thank you for the testimony of this dear sister who sacrificed and loved and worshiped you. And I pray that you would stir that up in our hearts, that we would have a desire to sacrifice and worship and love and serve you. Please be with those who are unsaved. Help us to reach them with your gospel message. And help us who are saved just to walk with you, to listen to you, and to be obedient by the power of your Spirit in the things you call us to do. Help us as we go from this place tonight. Help us as we go about our week, Lord. I pray for healing. I pray for help and protection. I pray, Lord, that you would just give grace and mercy and peace, and help us to be obedient to the things you've called us to. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.